Mills Daily.
Another one?
The one for See It, Say It, Sorted.
Just make sure you pay attention.
Yes.
Easy. Radio.
One, two, three.
Let's go.
Scott Mills.
I see mosh pits. Do you know where they are?
Oh, no. I want Agnes. Three, two.
Radio One.
Okay, all on this podcast, Chris books two of my favourite people ever to come into the show. I got a little bit starstruck, actually.
I'm pleased you liked it. Yeah,
I really did. You'll hear that within minutes on this podcast. Also, Chris has discovered the joy of next day delivery, and it's changed shopping forever. No more stress in shops, eh? The day before the Brits, you scrabbling around trying to find a suit that fits. Not anymore.
No, it's progress in my life.
Also, two more companies to take part in Funny Business. And how are we going to cover up that black eye of yours?
One.
So the annual Chris Can't Dress Himself for an Event thing is happening. Well, it started last night, really. I knew this would happen. Can I read out the messages that I got from you last night? Or
can do.
Be all right? Okay, so the new group is called Meeting. Pops up about 9:30 last night. So in the group, it's me, Chris, and the person we're supposed to have a meeting with. Lads. I've ordered some clothes for the Brits and just realised that they're arriving Wednesday. Can't say that. I've messed it up. I'm going to have to get a suit in the morning. I'll only be down the road, but shops don't open till 9:30, so I might have to be late for our meeting. I'm really sorry. After show, I'm doing something, so I'm going to have to do before the show. Should be with you by 10. And then we get... I could have ordered them a week ago and had the suit that I want, but no, this is what it is.
It's stressful. I totally
do it before.
I totally agree. I hear you. Honestly, I do. I could have done all of this a week ago. This would be a total non-issue.
But this happens every year. Why don't you?
I know it does. I can't explain it.
Okay. You know that I'm only thinking of you.
I honestly can't explain it. However, I need not worry. Because I went on all these websites last night and they can deliver the next day.
Whoa, hang on. Credit me with this. I said... Name of website is next day delivery to work ? An option ? This is at 9 p.m. last night. Anyway, obviously in that time you go on the website that I suggest. Now we're at 10 to 10 last night. Next message comes in. Well, I'm amazed. This is brilliant. Did you know about this? I put yes, I told you. Lads, you can order at 10 p.m. and it will be ready for you to pick up before midday the next day. What a business. True story. Madness. Then I put, lol that you've only just discovered this. You put, yeah, I knew about the website, but click fast delivery and everything can be picked up from a shop guaranteed by 12 tomorrow. I'm buzzing. This changes shopping forever. I've just bought a few options and will return the rest. I've seen it done many times myself, but never done it before. I put welcome along to 2020.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people have been saying to me. But how many people knew that you could get something before midday the next day? Because the problem is everything else was saying we'll get there before 10 o'clock at night. Problem is the Brits are earlier than that.
Yeah.
So I can't have a situation where I don't have anything to wear and I'm waiting for something to turn up. I should have done this ages ago. I didn't. But how mad is it? You can be lying in bed and then it arrived the next day.
And it has.
And it's arrived. What a world.
And then I told my boyfriend that you'd only just discovered this last night and he was like, no real. I was like, no, honestly. He's like, well, I don't believe you. I'm like, honestly. So then he messages you going, heard you've just discovered next day delivery. Then you put, so do I just take it to the post office? He puts, yes, there's prepaid return label. And then you just put a mind blown emoji.
Yeah.
So you're all ready, I think. We've got you several options.
Yeah. I feel like Maya Jama. I've got all the guys in the studio here. I've got all the clothes that I've ordered hanging up on the Radio 1 signs in the background.
Yeah, I'm putting it all on Insta.
And they're doing the whole, like, put this shirt up against that jacket there, yeah. See what works.
Like having your own stylist.
I have a glam squad.
Right. Next, though, we need to talk about what you're going to do with your face.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Just want to say you two are hilarious, and Chris's fashion dilemma is a happy distraction from the essay I'm trying to write. No, for a change, there is no dilemma, Caroline, who just messaged in. It's all sorted. Now we've got to sort what we're going to do about the black eye situation.
True, but away from that, can I just say, because I don't think you've talked about this enough, the guests that I've got for you is a special surprise coming up, slightly later than I said, but coming up very, very soon.
When you don't tell me who they are, I get a little
bit...
No,
it's not a stitch-up, this.
Okay.
I'll tell you why you will love it, is because you will genuinely love it.
Also, What I'm going to do with your other eye, that's not the black one, is also not a stitch-up.
Okay.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Doesn't happen often, but sometimes Chris decides to take it upon himself to book guests for the show. And while I appreciate the effort, it makes me feel not in control, which I hate.
No, but I think it's exciting because you don't know who's coming in, you can't prepare, you just got to enjoy it. And you will enjoy it. This is what I've been saying. You will enjoy this greatly. But it could be anyone, couldn't it? Could be someone from your past. Could be, I don't know, could be A-list. Could be right down to the Z-list. Could be anyone.
Have you been watching too much Masked Singer, by any chance?
That's what it is. There's a little gap that's missing in my heart now that Masked Singer's done. Because I started to get into that a little bit. But no, look, this is a simple idea. For once, I thought I'd take control of this. It's a nice surprise. As your friend, it's nice to give you little surprises here and there. And that's okay. What I've done with this.
As long as I'm going to like it.
You're going to love this.
All right. So not a stitch up.
Not a stitch up at all.
Okay, what happens now then?
We can just bring them in. They're waiting outside. They're here. They're ready to go. They're primed.
They,
yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh, God. Who is it?
Hello. Hello!
Oh my God!
So hello. Exciting!
No, you don't understand!
Oh, you don't understand!
They're finally
no, you don't
here!
Understand.
Oh my God!
Oh my God, it's going to be a big love fest.
Hello!
Hello!
I know, I actually do know your real names because I'm a fan, but, but everyone listening, it's Kerry and Curtin from this country. Oh, I've gone all red. Hi.
Hi.
Charlie and Daisy May Cooper, hi. Hello. Chris, this is quite incredible.
This is wicked,
what a
right?
booking.
Yeah, no, I'm so happy for this. And obviously it's a weird one for us because we're such huge fans of the show.
Yeah.
So obviously we only kind of properly know you through your characters. But Charlie, I have seen you in real life as well. I saw you, I was at a Streets gig and I woke up the next day, a bit of a hazy memory. Like, I swear... the lad from this country was getting right involved at the front because I'd made my way right to the front and that was you, right?
I was getting pulled apart like a bit of toilet roll. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, he was... I'm not just saying this, like, because I tried to grab you at one point because I was in that nausey phase of, like, I just want a photo with him, I just want a photo with him.
Here we go.
And you weren't having any of it. You were just sort of flinging arms around. It was limbs ahoy.
Oh, my God.
Right, guys, back with you in 10 minutes.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Daisy and Charlie, Kerry and Curtin from This Country on Radio 1. So, This Country, incredible show from BBC Three, like all the good ones, is on BBC One now, 10:35, Monday nights. I mean, it happened with The Office, happened with Gavin and Stacey. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
I saw you on a bus the other day.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
that's happening.
Great.
And do you know, they only put the best things on the buses, BBC. It's you and the Gemma Collins podcast at the moment.
Oh, brilliant.
So you're in good company.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't it?
Do you guys see it as the success that it is? I know that's a bit of a deep question, but you are on this level now, aren't you? The show's gone huge.
Well, do you know what? I still don't feel like it has. I think when I think of success, I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge being on the cover of Vogue, being on Saturday Night Live, Daisy and Charlie Cooper doing a book signing in Swindon. That to me isn't necessarily success.
That's a huge gulf there.
I think we see you the same, and a lot of people will.
Thank you.
I think you're geniuses. Do you think a lot of young people who live in a small town relate to this show so much?
But it's so weird how, because we tried to make it as specific to like the Cotswolds as we could and to our hometown. We get messages from like people in Sweden or like Australia going, oh, that's exactly like the village that I was brought up in.
But what will happen is in America, because it's been so successful here, they'll try and do a version of it. Which you must stop at all costs.
Okay,
please.
Right. Well,
it's too late.
I saw the Gavin and Stacey trailer. No!
So they're going to do it?
But we just get involved. We just get the cash from
That's what I mean.
And let them do it.
What they should do is show the original ones from the UK. And I remember when I went to America once and they were showing Skins when that was out, which is real Bristolian.
Yeah.
And they have subtitles.
You're
oh, my
kidding.
God.
Right, mate, Gert Lush. Was like, all right, mate, Gert Lush. They actually had subtitles on it.
Brilliant.
How did you come up with the idea for this, the premise of this show?
It was more out of sort of desperation, wasn't it? We were working as night cleaners in an office block, and we just thought, God, we've got to write something about being stuck at home, you know, in your hometown. If you've got nothing to do and there's no opportunities, because otherwise we're going to go mental.
And it just snowballed from there.
Isn't that amazing, right? Because we always go down the pub and we're like, how do you write a hit show like that?
Boredom.
This is it. Like, I don't get, because there must be people listening to this right now that have good ideas for something that they would find funny.
Yeah.
What is the next step for them? If you listen to this right now, what do you have to do to then get that idea into some form of life?
I just think, it's weird, but you kind of have to act it out.
We started with, the idea of a show came about 2010, and that's how long, it took us 6 years to get commissioned.
Yeah.
We made so many mistakes with it.
But did you sit down and write a script? Right, let's say I have this idea. Yeah. This is what I mean. This is why I think you two could be so relatable to people listening, because you must have at some point had that conversation gone, right, where do we begin?
Yeah.
And is it just like, you put it on post-it notes for the first episode, or just break it down, or
just you talk about characters. That's the best place to start. So don't start with the settings, start with the actual
good characters,
people.
Yeah.
That's the most relatable thing. So write those characters down and then write how they would talk.
Yeah.
Just try writing 10 pages of something and then send it to production companies. You just can get emails off Google. Yeah. That's what we did.
Well, the first scene we ever wrote, I think, was just we started out doing like little YouTube videos, just a pair of us, and I think the first scene was just Kerry gets a new camera for her birthday and she doesn't know how to work it, and it was just a conversation with her mum, who's obviously off screen, played by Daisy.
Yeah.
And it was just so as simple as that, and as sort of real as that. You've got to start somewhere, start anywhere.
What I think people don't understand is how desperate channels are for talent. Like, they're as desperate as people, aspiring writers.
Yeah.
To get new people and to get new voices, and you think it's like this great big like white castle like the BBC that you can't get into.
Also, what I quite like, so it goes out on BBC One and then it goes out on iPlayer after, but this is good because we're so used to now being able to binge watch stuff, but you can't. And
no.
I like that.
No,
but I like that, right? Because it's like, oh, put another one on.
Yeah.
There's nothing more that excites me than seeing that there's a new episode of 24 Hours in Police Custody that I don't know was on.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Scott Mills.
Samuel says, can you tell Daisy and Charlotte that they've hit the nail on the head? I live in Cheltenham, which is down the road from where this country is filmed. Everyone around the area loves it. have you seen this show? If not, you are missing out.
When we first started dating, I set the bar too high, because I was just texting her the whole time, but that's because I wanted to reel her in. But now the fish is in the net, I ain't going to keep throwing worms at it, because that's a waste of worms. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but 4 texts a day is complete madness. No one can keep up with that. Not even Gift Gap.
If you haven't seen it, this will be your new favourite show, I promise. Kerry and Curtin from this country, Charlie and Daisy are with us.
Right, what I want to know is, are you going to do a Christmas special?
Do you know what? I think we'll probably need the cash, so pop one of those out.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be interesting to see what happens, you know, where they spend Christmas, like, as because they are families. I'd love to see more of Kerry and Curtin's family members.
Yeah, I would.
And,
and their Christmas dinner, boiled veg, I think.
Overboiled veg.
I think also, with Christmas episodes, it's really hard not to, like, for them to be cliched. I think Gavin and Stacey managed it last year, but I think it is difficult. And the royal family used to as well, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I know that yours will be good.
Oh, thank you.
We're looking forward to the next series. BBC One, Monday night, 10:35, straight after the news. How does that feel?
Oh, God, incredible.
Hugh Edwards comes off, you come on. And then straight away afterwards,
who would have thought,
on BBC iPlayer, they're living the dream from the Cotswolds. It's a bit like when Amanda Holden went to Susan Ball, look at you there from your little town, who'd have thought you'd be any good, you there from, you've come all the way from your little town.
And do you know
she
what
did all that, it was full patronising.
Oh,
I think there's obviously a lot of people listening to this that probably haven't seen this country, and hopefully you just buy into how much me and Scott love this show so much, so even if you don't get it, check it out.
What's going to happen now is, because you've been on the show and we're obviously raving about it all the time, I'm excited to get the messages going. Yeah. I watched it last night. I'm obsessed, which will happen.
Let us know.
Let us know. 81199. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Oh, thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Sam from the Cotswolds watched the whole series of This Country, the first one, on a plane to California. Earphones in, laughing his head off. Awkward on a plane. People are like, what's wrong with him?
You know, we were talking earlier in the week about sort of show recommendations where you end up in that. It's almost like a tennis rally of, oh, have you seen this? It's so good.
Oh, no, but have you seen this? It's so good.
Loads of you probably haven't seen this, but if you haven't, it's so good.
What do you mean that? Hard to think that a week ago, guys, none of us had met this man.
Hello, Dickie's Dribble. How can I help you?
We didn't know who he was a week ago, and now he's just part of our lives.
Dickie's Dribble there from Funny Business. Yeah, don't you love it when you find a character? We call a random business and we just expect to have a little bit of a laugh, and then we find these characters on the show. Now Dickie's Dribble's the one.
And he definitely made us all laugh with his laugh this time last week.
Oh, brilliant.
Wow.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
It's so rubbish. A week ago, guys.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Never forget. We had a lot of calls from people saying, we need more Dickie. Yes, we do. We'll definitely call him back soon for a catch-up.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, we've sorted Chris's outfit, which is the first, because he discovered next-day delivery yesterday. Ordered it at 10 p.m. last night. Picked it up before midday today.
It's no bad thing. And you know what? In previous years, we've had to deal with this thing on the actual day. So that hasn't happened. We're good.
You've got like four options. You can send three back and choose one you like for tonight for the
Brits.
We're
all good. We're all good.
But we do need to talk about what to do about that black eye. There was a black eye which Chris says he got while playing football. Didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a football injury. Yeah.
All right, time for funny business. So we just call two companies, one each. I've got one for Chris to call. You've got one for me to call. We don't know where each other is going to call.
Also, don't overthink this. This is the most childish thing we do. We say this every week. It really is as simple as that. It's not very clever. It's not very intelligent. It's just silly. Go with it.
Last week, we found a new character. Dickie, off of Dickie's Dribble. Makes his own cider there in the New Forest. One. Okay, I'm going to go first. So this is Chris's one for me. I'll try not to laugh.
Hello, Rims and Dings.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, where have I called?
Rims and Dings.
Rings?
Rims?
Rims.
Rims.
Well, I have no idea where to start there. could you tell me some more about your company at all?
Certainly, yes. We do alloy wheel refurbishments and scuffs and scratches on your car.
See, I crunched my alloys yesterday. Is that called a ding? I didn't know that.
Well, yeah.
So I should say, the correct thing I should say is, oh no, I just dinged the car.
I've just dinged my wheel, yeah.
How many rims a day do you have, generally?
Four, five, depends.
Oh, okay. Is it hard, the rimming? I don't know, is that what you...
I wouldn't call it rimming, no.
No, but when you do it, what's it called?
Repair.
sorry, is it hard?
No.
It's not hard, okay, cool.
Not really hard.
I've got this really wrong. So basically, you can repair my rim.
I can repair your alloy wheels, rims, yes.
Got ya. All right, nice one. And whereabouts are you based?
In Ashford, Kent.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, if I'm round that way and I ding my alloy, then I'll get in touch with you.
Absolutely, no problem.
All right, great to speak to you.
And you. Thank you.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Well, goodbye. Didn't know what to ask. Gone. Then, really.
Yeah. No, you asked all the right questions. You don't know too much about cars, do you?
I have no idea about cars. So I like them. I like the look of them. Do I know anything about them? No. Could I change a tyre? No.
That was always going to be a tricky one to navigate, yeah. But I think you did well.
Thank you. Okay, I am now putting you through to my company that I found. Don't laugh when they answer the phone with the company name.
Bring it on.
Hello, touch-ups.
Hello, sorry for the call. I heard about your business name, Touch-Ups. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to find out a little more about it, about exactly what you get up to there.
We do all touch-ups to cars, car bodywork, things like that.
Oh, okay, yeah, so it's a car-based business.
Yes.
Yeah, tricky one, isn't it? Obviously, the business name, did you come up with it?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's a great name.
Thank you.
Never gets confused for anything else, I'm sure. Just, yeah.
No, quite straightforward, isn't it?
You are, though, Mr. Touch-Up, right?
That's right.
Wicked. Okay, great. And what's your name?
My name's Joe.
All right, Joe. Well, look, my name's Chris. And where are you based?
Maidstone, Kent.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, then. So if I ever need anything to the car doing, I can see you and you'll touch it up.
That's right, mate.
All right, mate. Nice one. Brilliant.
Cheers. No problem.
Cheers, pal. Bye.
Bye.
God, yeah. Can you tell that I put on a voice there as well? I put on a real, like...
Mate.
You all right, mate? Yeah, I tried to... Because I got an angry vibe.
Yeah.
And that's nothing to do with him. You know when you get a vibe that could have gone another way?
Every time I have to go to a car garage, I have to admit I do the same. Why do I go into that voice? It's like I feel I need to be accepted in there because I know nothing.
Yeah.
Like, when do I ever, you know me, you've known me for years, when do I ever go, yeah, all right, mate? I just don't, apart from when I go in there.
I felt the need to put on the voice there because also, when you're saying to a bloke, are you Mr. Touchy-up or whatever it was I said, or the man in charge of touching up, It's the kind of thing in any other circumstance that you could expect a slap for.
Yeah.
So I think I dealt with that as best I could. I also feel like I ended the call because of it.
I would agree. But if you'd asked him that same question in Yates's Basildon...
See what I'm saying?
Oh, do you want to make something of it, India?
Yeah. Yeah, you touch up, do you?
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, we do this every day. It's simple. I pick a song that I think is well good. So does Chris. We call it Bangers. And then you come on. And you just pick it, basically. Me against him. I have no idea who's in the lead at the moment.
I think it's me.
Yeah, well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Well, no, I am saying that.
Right, let's speak
to
Rachel.
I win more often.
This is BBC
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Rachel!
You all right?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you?
Yeah, you. Are you in Bradford?
Yeah.
Okay, so you are a professional dog walker.
I am, yep.
What a job. I think that's a really relaxing job. Am I right, or is it stress?
Oh, no, it's so good. It's the best job in the world.
It sounds like you're doing a really good job of it at the moment because I hear no dogs in the background, so I assume that you've done the walkies, they're all asleep.
Yeah, that's right.
You've knackered them out.
Yeah.
How many have you got on the go at one time?
I do them all separate because I specialise in dogs that are aggressive, so...
Okay, and do you have, and I, if I ever had a dog, I would quite like to book them in sometimes. Do they sometimes go to like a spa and get treatments and that, like a doggy spa?
Yes, Scott.
Do they?
Should do.
Pardon?
If that doesn't exist, it should do.
I'm sure it does. The dogs go there, they sit on a chair, they wrap a towel around their head.
Yep.
Because they're obviously drying their hair, and then they just put a paw out and the nails get done.
Right, that's the dream.
Rachel, when you control all the dogs, which, you know, honestly, it sounds like they've been very well behaved at the moment, can you get all the dogs to see? Because I know someone who's a nursery worker, right? And she was explaining to me that she can get all the kids in this nursery, they're all like 2 years old, but they all go to sleep at the same time. So this nursery worker can somehow get them all to see, and I don't understand how they do that.
No, definitely not the same as kids. Not as easy as that.
What does the nursery worker do then? Just go and sleep.
I don't know what magic it is that they're doing, but apparently you can walk into the room and all of the babies are asleep.
Okay, who do you normally pick on Bangers, Rachel? Me or Chris? Be honest.
It's a good mix. It depends.
Okay, I'm guessing you hear us a lot. You've got your headphones there. You're listening to us on BBC Sounds, Radio 1 on the move, walking the dogs. So
yeah, every day.
Here's what I've got for you today. I'm too good to you. I'm way too good to you. You take my love for granted. I just don't understand. This is Drake. I'm too good to you. Too good. I'm way too good to you. You take my love for granted. I'm Rihanna. Years go by too fast. That's my choice.
I love that, yeah. Chilled.
I've picked it before, but I wanted to throw it back in because I'd just love to hear it today.
No, I agree. Lovely song. Okay, Rachel, you can have that, or I've gone full rowdy. I've gone for this. This is Pendulum Propane Nightmares.
Really depends what mood you're in, Rachel, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I know what I'm going to pick because on Greg's show the other day, he played Pendulum, so I'm going to have to go for Scott.
Oh, what, because you've already heard Pendulum recently?
Yeah.
Okay, my choice is coming up. I've just been told that you're having a High School Musical party at your house on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Are you Gabriella?
No, we're not dressing up, God, no.
What a dream.
Hello.
I recorded a version of this once. I was Troy.
Yeah,
I did.
Listen, have an amazing High School Musical party, whatever that is.
Oh, thanks.
Here's my banger. Thanks, Rachel.
15 years ago, two murders shocked Liverpool.
The circumstances were horrific, and it clearly got to the community.
Before the police could get justice, the suspect in the crimes disappeared.
No one knows what you'd have to go through. It's unbelievable.
This is a young mum. What could we do to make this right?
In a new podcast, former Met Police Detective Peter Blexley is on the hunt for the man who's still on the run.
Quite frankly, he could be anywhere. All I will say is, Kevin Parr, I'm coming for you.
Manhunt, Finding Kevin Parr. Subscribe now on BBC Sounds to join the search. I'm way too good to you. You take my love for granted. I just don't understand it.
Yes, James the Vet. Shout out to his guinea pig spa in Hampshire.
What the?
Yeah.
Well, they got with them. The mini towels.
Yeah, they got them
little
all.
Guinea pigs.
Little
there.
Guinea pig massage.
Why
there?
Is it whenever I think of a sort of animal spa, I imagine the animal with a towel around its head, sat down with a paw out, getting its nails done
just
or filed.
One paw.
Yeah, just one paw.
Down.
It's almost like you walk through the door and like, oh, sorry. And they just the little guinea pig turns and looks at you as if to say, out.
Right, so that was Drake and Rihanna. That is a brilliant banger.
Tune.
Too Good is my little banger for you today. Thanks, Rachel, for picking it. Dog Walker, Bradford. Just giving Chris Starkey a little pre-Brits tan there. Tan from a can. Intense. It's called Intense Face.
Oh. I always... Right, so, yes, one time Scott was offended by how untanned I was, because I have very pale skin. I don't mind that. But we were going to an event together. Scott decided to run at me with said can.
I've just done
and
it again.
Me against my will. Should be laws against that.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So Chris has discovered next day delivery on a website that does clothes.
That's.
And he is. It's fast delivery. And he's sorted. He, for the first time, has sorted last minute again, but has sorted his clothes for the Brits. By now, we'd be in a situation where we're here in the afternoon and you'd be like, oh, I haven't got anything. I'm going to have to go to the shops after work and before the Brits. But no, we're here.
No, that's exactly it. Can I make it clear? I did know that you can get next day delivery. What I've discovered here is that this particular website delivers before midday.
Right,
which meant I could get the clothes in time.
Clothes? Sorted.
I look banging.
What are we going to do about your face?
Not much I can do about the face. So I've sustained an injury. I've got a black eye.
And how did you get that black eye again?
I got it with a football injury.
Which was what, though?
It's just a football injury. Don't
but
ask
what happened,
questions.
Though?
So anyway, the problem is whenever someone sees a black eye, it just, I don't know, got injured playing football.
It wasn't a football injury, though, was it?
It was a football injury.
You told me off air it wasn't.
Well...
All right, let's just stick to football, yeah.
It was a football injury.
Sure, Jan.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
look, the end result here
it's
is
a black
I've
eye.
Got, I've got a black eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It's the Brits tonight. Obviously, everyone looks great, but the black eye seems to be somewhat of a distraction. People can't seem to move past it.
Because when we had Lizzo in yesterday, the first thing she said to you.
What happened to your eye?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure if I'd declare it.
I'm like, you think I'm just going to sit here and look at you with a black eye and not ask what's wrong?
Mad, innit?
Yeah.
So, you got punched in the face, didn't you?
Here's my idea. We match them up.
Yeah. And you're really pushing this agenda to the point where I asked what we were doing on the show today, and one of the team said, oh, Scott says that you are going to mascara your other eye to match up. I was like, I've not agreed to this.
But it'll look the same, and then you won't get people going, oh, because, right, imagine tonight, there's loads of stars in the room, okay? Let's say, I don't know, Ed Sheeran comes up to you, he's like, mate, how'd you get that black eye?
Yeah.
And you're going to go, football, and he'll say...
Sure, Dan.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what if Ed Sheeran comes up to me and goes, mate, why are you wearing mascara on both eyes? Like, you seem to think that because I'm wearing mascara, no one's going to question it.
You look like Youngblood. You don't need much.
It's a black eye.
No, but here is the right. It's not it's not bruised.
It is.
You can't really tell that. What it looks like you've done there is you just put a little bit of mascara on the eyelashes of the left eye. If you'll let me, and if not me, somebody that knows what they're doing. If you'll let me apply a little bit of mascara to the eyelashes of the right eye, they will look the same.
I'll tell you what's going to happen.
And it'll make your eyes pop.
No, it's not going to look the same. What I'm going to have is a situation where. See Capaldi, whatever. He's like, oh, you got a bruise, you got a black eye there. How did that happen? You know, why are you wearing mascara in the other eye? It's not going to look the same.
It will look the same.
The thing is, I can't even put this out for a vote because if I say, people, what should I do here? Everyone will say the mascara thing.
Yeah, I know.
No one will be honest.
Potentially, you're going to be on TV tonight. I don't want to make you look bad. 20 minutes time. We'll just have a little experiment. If not, go to the loo, wash it off.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
He was on the show last week, our friend Niall Horan. This is his good new track, No Judgment, my tune of the week on Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Mike in Poole, Dorset, says, whatever you do, if you see Lizzo tonight, make sure you don't ask if she's all right. That didn't go well yesterday. All I said was, you all right? And she was like, well, what do you mean? I was like, they don't say that in America. They go, what's up? Now, to me, that would mean that I was in trouble. What's up? Nothing, I'm fine. But here, you all right means, yeah, I'm all right. Mm. Not the same. Do you want to come round and then, and I'll fix your eye for you?
No.
Come on. Let's come round quickly. I'm just going to match up both eyes. If you've just turned on, Chris has managed to sustain a black eye from football.
Football.
So, film it on your phone as well, please. I like this. It's all about the hashtag content.
Now, listen... I don't need... People are texting and saying, don't do it.
Let me just cover it up.
No, wait.
Close your eyes,
Wait a second.
Grace, because, restrain him.
No, because you said that you were going to put stuff on the other eye. Now what are you doing? You're now saying you're going to cover it up.
Would you like me
I'm going to look like a geisha.
Would you like me to cover up the existing black eye? would you like me to make the other eye look black?
I would like neither.
Okay,
but
in an ideal world... I said restrain him.
Right. What? Do one. Let's get this done.
Okay. Oh, it is black, isn't it?
Very black, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise how black. Oh, look at it. I'm covering it up. Hang on. Close?
Yeah.
So at the moment, I'm actually making Chris's eye not look black.
Great.
And
done?
It's quite good. Hang on. Give me more of a second. Hang on.
Okay. Happy with that?
Give me a second. I'm just painting it in.
Ow.
Hang on. Sorry. Oh, I poked you in the eye. Right. I think that is...
Okay.
Yeah, it looks good.
So I think what's only fair now is I'd get to do your eyes.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Why not? Because we are going together, aren't we? So I'm just going to put on a bit of
just on.
Now
there.
I'm not going to conceal your eyes. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring out your colour.
No,
here.
Don't do it there.
No,
no. You're drawing black lines under my eyes.
Let me just very quickly. Let me just very quickly.
No, that's not okay.
No, I'm bringing out your
eyes. It's in my eye.
I haven't touched you yet. There we go.
No,
that's
you're
nice.
Doing my eyebrows.
That's lovely.
All I'm doing is.
Oh, look at that.
You're horrible.
There we go.
Okay, so, right, if you look in the mirror now, you'll be like, yeah, I'm happy with that. What's he done to me? Oh, he hasn't drawn on a really high eyebrow, has he? Oh, now I look like I've been punched. Brilliant. Okay, so we're both in this together.
Scott Mills.
Also, I've noticed what you've done there is you've made one long eyebrow in the middle. So
it's really smudging around the eye. Here's the other option, though. I've got a black eye, right?
Let so me, have I now.
Let me punch you in the face so that we can both so that we can both be there together.
Right, you stitched me up here. I now look like I've got a black eye and a monobrow. I've enhanced your look. Scott Mills. Why do people at work send such boring emails to all staff? They do. It's generally people with, I was going to say too much free time. No, it's managers who are, they care about the workplace and they care about you, the employee.
It can be petty, though.
Yeah, some of them are. So you've been sending me these anonymously for a while now and I appreciate it. And we don't ever give out the company name. We don't ever give out your name because otherwise you look like the grass, don't you? You look like the snitch. No one wants a snitch in the workplace. But someone has sent me this from their company. If they are listening to Radio 1 at work, then, of course, everyone will hear it and somebody will be accused of sending it. And there will probably be another all-staff email going around going, who sent this to Radio 1? Own up! Here's today's work email of the day. Was sent to all staff and now shared by millions of listeners on Radio 1.
As some of you know, over a prolonged period, we have had several challenges with the communal kitchen space. And as such, a decision has been made to install a CCTV camera in the kitchen. The camera has been installed in the hope that we can drive the right behaviours in this area. I know a few of you have queried whether the camera will be able to record conversations. Whilst the camera appears to have this capability, it will not be something that will be utilised.
Yeah.
Appropriate
yeah, right.
signage will be put in place in advance of the camera being activated.
That's right.
Sure, Jan.
Sure, Jan. It won't be listening to your conversation, so don't worry about a thing.
It may look like it. It's got a massive microphone, but don't worry, it can't hear a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Hey, I saw a thing earlier which you would love. You know you're worried about your smart speaker maybe listening to everything you
well,
say.
It is, yeah.
Do you have one?
Yeah.
But do you turn it off?
I unplug it. Yeah. Now it's off
every night.
No. It's just off now. Done
oh,
with it.
It's not on at all.
Nah.
Okay. This is for you. If you go to the app, right? Go to privacy, then manage how your data improves this service. Switch that off.
All good.
Really? Yep. We'll never hear a thing. The Scott Mills Daily. This person says, I don't have access to the email account anymore, but the best work email I ever got was, can people please stop emptying the fridge without anyone telling each other? My breast milk was removed from the fridge yesterday and this is unacceptable.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because then you do have to wonder why... where the breast milk ended up.
Yeah.
And you have to assume that was a coffee run.
Yeah, right, exactly. Someone did have that in their coffee. Don't steal anyone's milk. The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1. So as you heard in Newsbeat, Grimmy is now going to trek through the Namibian desert for sport relief. Was to be Mongolia, freezing, like frozen lakes. Now it's Namibia, boiling. Surely that's affecting his training somewhat.
I would totally. It must really throw him off.
They've had
Fair
to change
play
it.
To him.
It was going to be freezing cold, now it's boiling hot. I tell you what, right? Over the years, we have put our DJs through it for sport relief, but we have raised a lot of money thanks to the generosity of you, the Radio 1 listeners. You lot are always so generous. Do you remember when we sent Greg up those three mountains in the snow?
Mm.
And he was crying in that? Hard to beat that, really, but Grimmy is he's going to have a go. He's deep in training at the moment.
I just like it's everyone doing their bit. And so many people who listen to Radio 1 as well get involved, do their stuff for sport relief.
And that's where we'd like to help you this year. We get a lot of emails all the time saying we're doing this event for sport relief or whatever charity. Can Radio 1 help us? And actually, we can this time. So if you are planning to do something for sport relief and you'd like us to try and supersize it, we can't promise, but we might be able to supersize your event for sport relief. So maybe you're doing something on your own. Maybe it's you and your mates attempting some kind of sporting challenge.
Yeah, maybe you're doing something as part of a sports club or team that you're part of. I like this because those things are quite hard to organise and train for, and people do it and put in the effort. I like that Radio 1 can come and maybe help out a little bit with this.
Maybe your school or your workplace, or yeah, your sports club, like you said, is attempting something big that's a little bit unusual or imaginative. What if here at Radio 1 we could give you a big helping hand to supersize your event. If you'd be up for that, drop me a note with your name, where you're from, and a little outline of what you're planning for Sport Relief. And I can't promise, but you could be doing your challenge with Radio 1. Make sure you include your contact details, including a phone number that we can reach you on pretty much any time. You need to be 16 or over to take part. Full terms and conditions are available on the Radio 1 website. We'd really like to hear from you. Grimmy's doing his bit. What are you planning to do for Sport Relief this year? We might be able to help you.
Scott Mills.
We're back tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1.